My sound is weird.
Oh, is that?
Because you didn't clapping.
I can only hear it in my left ear.
Maybe it's your ears that are
can
off.
Can you turn my right ear on?
Do you still have your earwax in? Have you been swimming? Do you remember the kids that would have to like plug up their ears with wax to go swimming? They like
no, they didn't have earplugs.
Yeah, I had to.
Is
do that
you?
Yeah.
You can only hear, Glenn. You said
I can only hear in my
out of your right
wait,
ear.
Wait, hold on a second. It's
plugged in all the way down there.
Oh, look at that. No, yeah, okay.
That was it, huh?
Wow.
That was
it. Sometimes it's as simple as that.
Sometimes
you know what
it's as simple
mean?
As that, guys.
I had a our fireplace was not working. We have a gas fireplace in the family room, and we had a technician come out and check it out. And it, you know, he was there for about 15 minutes before he like basically just realized like all I had to do was change the batteries in like a thing that like whatever the control is that controls the thing. It was just like, he just took the batteries out and put new batteries in. And I was like,
yeah,
well, that's just embarrassing, but also really frustrating that like my, you know, when we had the house built, like nobody told me. Nobody, I didn't even know it had batteries.
Well, imagine going back only, I don't know, 30, 40 years to a different generation and explain to them that you need batteries to control your fire.
Well, by the way, I hate it. You can't, in California, you can't have real fireplaces mm-hmm. anymore. It's against code. I would love to have a real fireplace. I would much prefer.
I had a situation like that. One, this is a little off topic, but I was at a bar in Rhode Island. It was winter time. This was when I was still living in New York. So I hadn't driven a car in a while. And I had my parents' car, and I was meeting up with Tim Roach, our editor, and some of my Rhode Island buddies. And I think we were like watching a Patriots game, and it was snowing. It was really snowing. I was like, all right, guys, I got to head out. And I get in my car, and I'm trying to drive the car, and I just can't get it to go. I can't get it to like, I'm like, the tires are spinning in the snow, and I'm like, okay, I'm a little out of practice. I haven't driven a car in a few years. And I'm like, I can't get it. My buddy comes out. He's like trying to give it a little push. Then a cop like comes, sees us, and he comes over to help. And I'm like, oh man, okay, have I had too much to drink? But I was all right. I was like not endorsing drinking and driving. Maybe I had like a beer or two, but enough to be nervous about it. So then the cop's looking at me, spinning, like wheels are spinning now. He's trying to figure out. He looks in the window and goes, buddy, is the emergency brake up?
Mm.
I did not realize that the emergency brake was up. I was like, yeah, I think I put it down. And I think because my buddy who owned the bar was like a real local guy, you know, the cop was like, go home, get home. So I got home.
Let you drive home.
Go home, stupid.
Yeah. Let my drunk ass drive home in the snow.
Cut that.
Hey, you know, I really.
By the way, Megan, I noticed. We say cut that. And
you don't
then
ever cut it.
You don't ever cut it.
yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah, was,
yeah, well, I don't know.
Our cut-its are sincere, you know?
Sometimes
they are. I have a very similar story, actually. Me and a bunch of my buddies were on acid, and we needed to move my friend's car. And he couldn't find his keys. So we're like, well, we'll just push it. You know what I mean? Like, we'll put it in neutral and push it. And we couldn't figure out how to push it. It wouldn't go. We were like, what the hell's going on? It was in a driveway. It was it should have very easily gone. And it was the exact same thing.
We
had the emergency brake up, but we were all too...
Well, sometimes hopped up on LSD. Look, yeah. I think what we've learned is sometimes the fireplace needs new batteries. Sometimes you're drunk or on LSD and your emergency brake is on. And sometimes you find out you have a new dad.
Charlie, is this the first time we established that you don't know who your dad is? That we actually talk about it? I can't remember.
A lot of dad things. Is this the first time we meet Mac's dad?
This is the first time we meet Mac's dad, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gregory Scott Cummins.
Oh my God. Wow. What a treasure.
I mean, he's
amazing.
You
know what I remember when we cast him? Mm-hmm. We watched a VHS tape of his like reel. That's how long we've been doing the show. The casting sent over, DVD technology existed, but casting had sent over a VHS tape.
All casting was being sent to us via VHS tape at that point in time. So, I mean, we auditioned a ton of actors.
Little known fact.
Yeah.
Somebody came in and read for us, who went on to become a rather big star, who read for that role.
Huh.
Anybody read for know? The dad?
Right, for the
for
dad.
Your dad.
Yeah, and I think he got down to, I mean, there were so many great actors that came in because I think it was a really funny part, and they knew, and people got it, and they knew, and I remember him doing a pretty good job. I remember there was like three or four guys that we really liked.
Yeah.
And I remember called him back.
My God, who was it?
Dave Bautista.
Get out of here.
No,
yes,
really?
Dave Bautista.
How do you remember that? Recollection of that.
He's way too young.
I would know. I definitely didn't remember.
He was too young, yeah.
No. Dave Bautista?
Yeah, how was he 10 years older than us?
Age and casting is a thing, man.
52.
He's 52? Yeah, he went too young.
So that's a bit young. I mean, by the way, Gregory Scott Cummins, we had to age him up too.
Yeah.
I can't remember how old he is, but he's
movie title.
I haven't seen it yet. So, is Bautista in that?
Actor's name.
Plays the villain, and you know, he's a very good actor, but like he's a very good actor.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here. Anyway,
he's like Glenn mouthing it to me, like,
like we're on camera. There's cameras everywhere. Yeah, don't do him like
aware.
That.
I'm aware. I'm an actor. I know where the cameras are.
Anyways, he plays the villain
himself.
Yeah, but there's a scene where
he plays himself. Just with makeup on.
He plays himself with makeup on.
Yeah,
and you're ruthless, man.
Yeah, I love
you're
it.
Ruthless.
Oh, he came in hot.
Where's your Oscar? I'm sorry, where's your Oscar? You want to go down in the car and get your Oscar?
That's
your Emmy?
That's a damn good
your
question.
Your SAG Award?
Hey, listen,
your People's Choice Award?
There was a whole thing on...
There won't
on,
be any awards in there, but it will be parked perfectly.
There was... Went down. That's right. Yeah, parking... You want a parking award? I'm going to get that one. Off the record, I don't understand why people... I don't think he's acting. I think... The guy looks like... To me, he looks like he doesn't... He's like... shocked that he looks like he's constantly on the verge of like I'm gonna be discovered, like people are gonna figure out that I'm not really an actor, I'm just weird.
That's
I'm
how
just
I feel
weird.
Yeah
let's cut that. We're gonna cut all that because
cut that.
The guy does not deserve that. I have not seen him give a good performance, but I'd like to, and I'm gonna watch that movie, so maybe he'll be great. I haven't seen
actor's other movie.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are you talking about? So what are you talking about? But you can't put this in the podcast.
No, absolutely
not. I kind of agree with you, man. I'm not a giant fan.
No, we can absolutely put it in.
No, fuck that. Wait, hold on.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Can we put it in, Megan? But can we beep it? And then put literally like bubbles over the mouth, so you don't know who
we're talking about
or what movies we're talking about.
Yeah,
there's maybe a way to cut that.
Sure.
I mean, sorry.
Use that.
Edit that into the show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever.
Maybe don't cut that.
What were we talking about?
So we made a television show.
Okay. Yeah.
And now we're at the end of the second season of it.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. And the episode's called Dennis and Dee Get a New Dad.
I really liked so much of this one.
I loved it.
I loved just how sort of, you know, I love the scene with you guys and your mom in the restaurant where Danny finds out that he's not the dad. Just the dynamic between you guys and Archer and Danny is fantastic.
Every time I watch an episode with Anne in it, I'm like, man, what a great character.
Why did we, what happened? I don't know. I mean, it was a good idea. It was a good storyline. It was an interesting storyline, but I think we really shot ourselves in the foot by killing that character because she was so great.
We're not projecting that far into the future. So we're just like, oh my God, what are we going to do? This is a fun story. Let's kill a character. And we don't realize the repercussions that we're going to go on.
I will say this,
though.
I think the show, as much as we try to not change it so much, it has to change. It has to move forward. Because I watch every episode being like, God damn it, I love that. Why aren't we doing that? And it's because you can't just do that. You can't just repeat the same thing over and over and over again. So, you know, yes, we could have hung on to Ann Archer for longer, but we didn't.
We only had it for one season. These foolish young kids who thought, I mean, I thought probably the show would go maybe 4 years tops. So
maybe
that's what we were thinking. Yeah. I don't know. But
well, Charlie wasn't thinking at all when he, and neither, none of us were when we wrote in
bad new?
The bad new tattoo that you were going to have to wear that for the next 12, 15 years of your life.
You know, there was a decision where we could have been like, nah, whatever, it was a fake tattoo, because we cut the whole riff about it. There was a riff where you say, what are you trying to do?
Oh, right.
And I'm like, I'm trying to get hard. And you're like, what are you writing? And I'm like, writing bad news. And you're like, yeah, but that's two words. I also stopped because it's hurting me too much. And we cut that, like just because the episode was too long.
Yeah.
And we cut the whole riff.
Yeah.
And yet kept the tattoo.
And yet kept the tattoo.
It's a fantastic tattoo.
It's a good tattoo. I've thought about getting it in real life many times.
I should name, but you should.
And
I
always have a little last minute decision of like, fuck it.
I like the idea that maybe this is, it feels like the first time where we have a major character who shows the complete opposite of the characters that are the main cast of the show, right? Like a reflection of like who these characters could have been if they had good parents.
Oh,
but I also like that we're showing how these people became who they became.
Yeah.
Like slowly but surely.
Well, they're all still real people. They're very bad and arch, but there are still real people, and compared to their new father that they find out is just the complete opposite of.
Yeah.
A little thing that I caught that I loved, that I remember doing it was that we put in Claire de Lune, the piano there in the in the Gugino's, and it cuts out like as Danny's having his rant,
yes,
and then it starts back in again, just as if there's a piano player somewhere.
No,
which we later established there is a piano player.
Yes, we did
in the episode where you give the speech about tasting someone's asshole or something like that.
Yeah, right, tasting someone's
just a
asshole.
Little bit.
Just a little bit. It wasn't great, but it was fine. It actually cuts out when I scream, I'm not banging my sister.
Yeah.
But I always thought that was a really, really fun choice also to have that cut out. And then there's just a pause and then it comes back in.
Also, the gunshots versus clicks when Danny is ranting and raving.
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into that.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into that. So that was another instance where we got into an argument in the editing room. I believe both you guys wanted to put the gunshots in.
How do you feel about it now, 15 years
later? I think it's fucking ridiculous. I absolutely 100% think that is one of the dumbest things we have ever done.
Oh, God. I got to that.
So hard.
I was like, that's so good. Why don't we do shit like that anymore?
I think that was definitely an example of where at first I remember being like, I think this is so dumb. And then Charlie winning me over and being like, let me just try it. I'm like, I don't think it's going to work. We left or whatever. He put them all in and I came in. I was like, okay, he wins. That was so great. And you were still on the
first of all, it's not funny. Secondly, it's completely
impossible. First of all, you're wrong. It is funny.
It's not funny.
It's hilarious.
No, it isn't.
Not so much the gun firing, but then the dry firing after he's fired all the guns and it's just clicking away. It's great.
It's not.
It is.
It doesn't make any
sense.
Rob agrees,
and that's why it's a new show.
You can't just shoot a gun in a giant building, and there's no like debris falling from the ceiling. It's just completely
wacky. Well, we didn't have a debris budget at that time.
Right, which is why we shouldn't have put it in. It's just so like so wacky and broad.
And
like,
we did it in
no
post.
One's reacting to it.
No one's reacting to
no
it.
No one's reacting to it.
Because on the day, that's Danny was supposed to, or Frank was just supposed to be clicking the gun.
No, he wasn't even clicking it. He was just gesturing with it.
Oh, that's even funnier. So he was not even.
Yeah. We were putting the little clicks and fires in.
You guys, listen.
It's so stupid. But it's. But it's funny.
It's damn funny. It's funny.
Maybe we should do a listener poll. Can we do like a listener poll, Meg? Do we have the technology to do that?
Yeah, we can do that.
A listener poll.
Okay. How do we pose the question? Was the scene funny?
Was the scene funny? The scene's funny.
Sure.
Is Danny firing the gun funny? Do you enjoy it or does it ruin the scene for you? Thumbs up if you like it. Thumbs down if you don't.
I'm going to guess that most people were like, yeah, no, it's funny. You know what I mean?
Because most people know it's funny. You're the person who thinks nothing's funny. You don't think Rob's parking is funny. You don't think
no, that was funny.
Firing the gun.
It just made me angry, but it was funny.
What you said was, which I love, you recognized that it was funny, but it didn't make you laugh.
It didn't make me laugh.
I understand.
That's correct.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah. No, but I acknowledge that it's funny. The him firing the gun thing is not funny to me. And it annoyed me this time watching it too. I was like, this is one of the dumbest choices we've ever made. Like,
we've done it a number of times again. And then every time Frank pulls that gun out, we do discuss like, oh wait, and Charlie's always the one who's like, we should put a gunshot in. And then sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't.
Yeah, it's funny. He's so goddamn reckless with this.
To me, it would have been
funny.
Here's what I think would have been funny. If he was gesturing with it, and you guys were like,
yeah, reacting
as if like a man's waving a gun around, which is what would happen in real life. And then at the very end, he like shot one into the ceiling. You like, and everybody,
I agree that would have been like, funnier, but that ship had sailed, and there was still a way to make the scene just a little bit funnier than it was.
So you admit it was just a little bit funnier.
Yeah, but okay. That's what we're going for. A little bit funnier versus not so
versus
funny.
Reality. Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to make reality.
Whatever. Let's move past it.
This is what it is like in the editing room still to this day.
I actually thought you guys, in the writer's room.
Yeah. This is the process.
This is the process.
This is the process.
I love these guys. I really do.
Yeah.
I love that we can do this.
It is insane that this is a profession. It's insane. Yeah.
To have an argument over whether or not to put a gun sound effect in and to have a passionate argument about it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like crazy.
And step outside of it and be like, man, you know, like I got really upset about that. You know what I mean? Like you have to like take a breath and be like, fuck, man, like I felt real anger over that. It's the dumbest shit ever.
Well, that's just so great.
Right.
This crazy thing about this, right, is you are trying to find some kind of truth. Right? You're trying to find some kind of truth. This scene feels real. The moment feels real for the characters. And that joke pushed it out of the truth for you, which is why you don't like it, right? That's that little sort of ticker you have in your gut that says this works, this doesn't work.
Takes me out of it.
Right. For me, sometimes I'm like, well, there's the realistic truth. There's the comedic truth. You know, like when you pitched that you would see Sweet D as an ostrich, you know, and I was like, well, that's crazy. I mean, like, wait, you actually think she's an ostrich when you see her? And then, you know, we were like, well, let's shoot one. And then I got to the editing room and I'm like, that fucking works great.
By the way, I was 100% on board for that.
Right.
Right away, I was like, that is brilliant.
I didn't see that we could go that far. I was like, to me, it seems outside of the.
Yeah.
I could see a man firing a gun in his apartment. I can't see a man actually hallucinating an actual bird.
Yeah.
Until I saw in the editing room, and I was like, nah, it works perfectly. Works great.
Right. Yeah. I guess we'll tell that story when we get to it. I remember we were doing a photo shoot, mm-hmm. and that bird was there for the photo shoot. And that was the same day, I believe, or something that we were.
It was Filter magazine, and I want to say that was the only magazine we've ever been on the cover of.
Oh yeah, well, we get a lot of offers now. Still, to be we do get offers now to be on covers of certain magazines that we pass on because we don't want to. We don't personally.
This is news to me.
Yeah, I'm not aware of these offers.
We've gotten a few.
A handful over the years.
But now we're at a place where like, well, now, see, we needed you at a certain point. Like there was a run in the show for the first, I don't know, 8-9 years where we really needed the promotion and the publicity and they were not there for us. And then all of a sudden now we are now promotion for them.
Right.
And like, so how does that seem fair? Where now we're going to help promote your magazine when we needed you. And the poor copy editor is like, I was 10 when this all happened.
Right.
I don't know. You're blaming me? I'm sorry.
I'm not aware of all these incoming phone calls that we're passing on.
Who's passing on these things?
Is it you?
Listen, guys, I'll do it.
Yeah. Rolling Stone?
I'll do it. With or without Rolling Stone? I don't even care if he's in the photos. If he wants to pass on it, that's fine.
Maybe we would be if I wasn't putting gunshots in Danny's gun.
Right. They'd be like, now we.
Yeah, they'd be like, these fucking guys aren't taking this shit seriously.
They're not taking it seriously.
Oh, man. One thing that I found really funny about
the show that was at the first time, and I already brought this up a little bit, but the idea that we're seeing for the first time how important parents are, mm-hmm. like, parenting is and how like the question of like nature versus nurture is coming up where like, well, how are these people existing? Like what led them to this place? Mm-hmm. And we weren't doing it on purpose. And we were just like desperate for storylines, but the idea of starting to see backstory and to start to see it and understand how these characters got to that.
We were absolutely. To what extent, I'm not sure, but I mean, in my memory, we were doing that on purpose. We were very deliberately, you know, showing what could have been, mm-hmm. you know, had they been raised by Bruce Mathis versus being raised by Frank mm-hmm. Reynolds. It's really fun to watch those interactions with them, like really trying to kind of fit in with him at first, and then they go to the hospital, they just can't help themselves.
Yeah.
She's stealing medication. We can't help but blab about which kids are going to probably die and should we say something or not. And then all of a sudden we're like, hey, we're too far gone. And we can't even, we're like, we're, these kids are dying, and we're like, it's, you know, complaining about hospital food and the fact that it's too cold in this room, and can we crank the heat up? Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, but in the end, funny. what's great is that if you're watching the show at that point, it's because you get what we're doing and you're enjoying the characters. So that when you and Dee realize that, like, oh, you know who never made us feel bad about, like, these kinds of conversations? Dad. Yeah. You're actually happy for them because you're like, oh, that brings them back to the characters mm-hmm. that we love.
Right.
And we love them for how repulsive they are.
Yeah.
Because we understand what the show is. You know, but that's an interesting phenomenon that you're rooting for them. You're not rooting for the good right. guy in the story.
Yeah.
Right. Like, do you remember the whole thing with Breaking Bad and how, like, there was this huge backlash against Skyler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The character of Skyler.
People were disliking her. Like,
yes. No, yeah. She was the, do you remember the show? So she was the mother wife. And wife. Yeah, yeah. In the show. And she was essentially the moral compass for like a while.
Right.
And people like actively hated her to the point where the actor was getting, was getting like publicly, like getting bullshit from people. And it was because the audience was like, oh no, we know that Walter is like a sociopath who's turning into a psychopath or whatever. And we're on board for that. That's the show. That's the promise of the show. So anybody who's like a good guy who's taking us away from who that character is like pushing us further away from the promise of the show.
Right.
I don't know. I think that's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah.
Well, is it just as simple as, you know, you're telling a story, you have a character, a protagonist, right? They have a want. They have a driving want, whether they're that's a good want or a bad want. They have a want. There's something relatable in that to everyone. And then the person who is obstructing them is annoying to the audience, just the way that a person obstructing you from your want is annoying. Is it maybe just that?
Yeah, well, I also think there's something interesting about empathy that's not necessarily like intellectual. Like if you—
Wait, explain empathy to Glenn. Just sort of break it down, like what the feelings are, and let's.
Okay, so for most normal,
I've humans, heard the word. I mean, I've heard the word. That's a feeling.
Yeah. Yes. How about the idea that we're talking about MySpace?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
MySpace.
Yeah. MySpace.
I mean, there's definitely right now a section of our a demographic of our audience that doesn't know what MySpace is.
Has never heard of MySpace.
Never heard of it. Right.
Say, I've sort of felt the same way. Like watching the thing, I'm like, wait, what was MySpace? Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Were you out? I know you were on MySpace.
I was on it. Yeah.
You were on it? Uh-huh. Okay. I couldn't remember.
I wasn't on Friendster.
No.
But I was on MySpace.
Yeah.
And then I've never had a Facebook account.
But MySpace was
remember,
fun.
Yeah, but do you remember that this was an era of the intranet where someone had set up a fan account and it was called charlieday.net. Mm. Do you guys remember charlieday.net?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
A nice young lady who I think was like maybe from Chicago or something. And she, well, here is the funny thing. She was a big fan of Third Watch.
Oh,
yes.
Right.
She was a big Third Watch fan and then tried to get into Sunny as Sunny happened. And then I think eventually I must have gotten tired of me over the course of Sunny and being like, this isn't the sexy, drug dealer
bad boy
that I thought he was. This is a man who's eating cat food. And huffing Elmer's glue. This is not the guy for me. So eventually.
But that was, that was really our experience with the internet. And the closest thing we had to social media, which was the only way we could tell how people felt about the show, was going to IMDb. Mm-hmm. Remember? And then that would be like the message board.
Do they
right?
still have a message board on IMDb? They must have dropped it.
They must,
it.
But do you remember that we started?
They dropped it, right? Yeah.
Oh, they did, because
it
came
so toxic. Message boards are the worst.
So, but that was like the first version of a message board that we had. Yeah. And then we started, do you remember we started messaging each other? So
right.
I started one that was like, hey, Glenn Howerton is a fucking dick, right? I hate his face.
Yeah.
And then I put it out there.
Yeah.
And then we were basically battling each other. But it was just like a gag to us. And then like hundreds of people started
chimed in. Yeah.
And then we started, and then it became not funny anymore to where you were like, oh, this is like personal. And then we stopped reading them. And then luckily we just didn't have Twitter, just didn't exist. So we didn't have to read anything about us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was reading comments on MySpace, but by the time, I don't know, I think I got off of MySpace like 2007, 2008, I was like done with it. As was everyone else.
Yeah.
What a thing, man. Imagine being like Tom, right? Wasn't it Tom from MySpace?
Yeah.
And being like, it's taking off. This is going to be the thing. And
Tom did great because they sold MySpace to like Fox or something, right?
My friend, this is getting crazier, but they sold it to Fox.
Fox, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And then Fox was like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? Like they could, it was huge. I feel like they could have really like rivaled Facebook with that. And they just kind of like.
Not too late. They might try to
revive it.
Yeah, revive it.
How much did old Tom make in that deal? How much did they buy it for? Do you know? Meg's going to look that up. I like that kind of stuff. I want to know how much Tom made. I want to know how much that was sold for because.
$580 million.
That seems low.
In 2005.
In 2005.
Facebook must have been out there at the same time, and he just got it out quicker because...
So I have become very good friends with the person who was the CEO and chairman of MySpace.
Oh, was?
And he was. And he was the one that sold it to Rupert Murdoch.
Okay.
At Fox, and he told me the whole story, and it's wild.
Go.
Well, he was summoned to Fox.
Summoned.
Because they were trying to figure out, like, okay, what's the next?
Bring him to me. That's Rupert.
Wait, sign can my it? Email Do and joke it? About Fox and MySpace.
I want to know who this guy is.
Oh, yeah, he's got to have a...
Bring him to me.
I don't want your jokes. I don't care whose fucking space it is.
Is he still my boss?
No, he sold. He sold us
to Disney. It to the mouse.
Okay, who's my boss now?
John, it's me
John
now.
Disney. John Disney.
So keep your trap shut. Fuck off, Rupert. I'll smack you around, Ruby. Fuck off, bitch.
Don't you?
Oh, shucks. You stupid old bitch.
Can we maybe do Mickey Mouse talking to Rupert Murdoch?
How dare you?
Yeah, all right, sir.
How dare you?
Now listen now, you old fuck. I'm going to buy this space whether you like it or not.
It's jump change, mate. Jump change.
Is he Australian?
Yes.
Australian.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was British.
No,
Australian.
No.
No.
He's Australian. He's Australian, mate.
Yeah.
How you going?
How you going, mate?
The scene in the hallway when we're walking, having between Charlie and I.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where we're walking with our new costume outfits.
Yeah.
I love that scene, and I love writing, acting. In scenes where the characters are in agreement that like what they're doing is awesome, but they're disagreeing about the specifics of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, they're both on the same page and in conflict over the details.
Yeah. Whereas like the audience is maybe at first led to believe like what they're doing is ridiculous and that they recognize that. And that's not what it is. We recognize, we look awesome. It's just that you're not doing it right.
Right.
You're not doing it right. And I remember you had you were like, I really want to do it with the top button down. And I was like, and I remember even when we were talking about it, I was like, I don't know that that's the look. And you were like, well, that's what the scene should be about. And that's what we wound up doing.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like you asking like, is it bunchy?
Yeah.
Do I look bunchy?
Is it bunching or is it bunchy? That's funny. That scene's great.
I like that look. I think that's a good look.
It is a cool look.
Yeah.
It is.
I wish I can't get away with it, but like.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good look.
It's a cool look.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
I also remember not being able
to
land.
It's a nice silhouette, you know, like the top button and the flowy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a nice silhouette.
I go up to those guys. Hey, you guys, whatever you got going on here is great, man. You got a great silhouette happening.
I really like
this. You know what I mean?
I really like this.
I like this. I'm sorry. Can you stand in front of the light so I can see you in shadow? Yes. Look at that silhouette.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Look at that.
I don't know how would a person respond to that.
And what's going on with this car? No.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
All right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just dry stuff.
Yeah. Okay, but for me, okay, so my favorite scene in the whole episode, I have to say, is the scene where you guys quickly walk up to Bruce Mathis with the intention of bashing him. Mm. And then you freak out and peel off, leaving Charlie alone. Amazing. With him. That whole sequence was so funny. And I wanted to ask you, because I don't totally remember... I feel like you kind of came up with that whole repeating what he's saying back to him very tentatively, like in the moment. I don't think that was in the script.
It doesn't seem like a thing we would have scripted.
No, yeah. I feel like it was something you... And when Stephen Collins, the actor, laughs and tells you it's okay, that was a brilliant moment because that was him... I think that was him breaking, but using it. Like,
yeah,
do you remember him kind of laugh? He's like, it's okay. It's okay. And he's kind of laughing.
Yeah.
I think because you guys were, you were breaking during
I'm
that
because sure
it
was
super
breaking,
funny.
Yeah.
And Steven was breaking too because it was super funny. And Steven was such a great actor that he just used it. He just used it. And that whole scene is so.
I feel like I remember Attius getting irritated about us laughing.
He was.
Or he's like, let's go, keep it together.
Yeah, Attius, who, again, directed all 10 episodes and, you know, came from mostly drama. I don't know if he had really done any comedy at that point.
Not a lot.
Not much.
Oh,
yeah,
God,
yeah.
I love that guy. But he was like, you know, he's like, we're taking this seriously. You know what I mean? And
he's damn right. Totally right. You know, I think it helped too, which is like, okay, good. Someone's getting irritated. Let's get this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I really like about that is Rob, your peel off is fantastic. We're making a beeline and you fire out of there. I'd kind of forgotten that you fired out of there in that way. Of course, you're laughing as I'm smacking
like
you
good
in the
on
next
football field.
I'm laughing through the whole episode.
Absolutely.
I mean, that scene.
You guys are both. I mean, you're almost breaking into a full laugh at the end of that slapping scene.
Like, yeah, I could see on the corner of my face that I was like in a smile.
And it's also so clear that he's slapping me for real.
Oh, yes.
That's not fake.
Like, also, not scripted. That was also
and
not
it wasn't
scripted.
Well, yeah, it wasn't scripted.
Did I tell you I was going to do it?
No, I don't think so.
I just tagged
it. Yeah, you just did it. And so, and of course, but not in a painful way, but in a way that almost made me laugh.
Yeah, you're
but
right.
The previous scene, or the two scenes before that, where my dad is talking about, or where you were talking about how full we were going to be for you, it was going to be, and that wasn't scripted, and I just remember not being able to get through that.
Yeah,
at all. Well, we have to cut immediately after you say the line.
Yeah. Well, that's all in the bloopers. That's all in the bloopers. Yeah.
Also, I gotta say, just singing "Save the Children," I found so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Save the children.
Well,
I think that was Stephen's band. Like, he had like
his band. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Here's a fun fact. The girl that I'm hitting on in that scene is an actress named Yada Martinez. And Yada introduced me to my wife, Jill, which you guys know.
Yes.
But people out there, they may not know that. They probably don't. Why would they? Anyway, Yada Martinez. Thank you, Yada.
Thanks, you.
Yada.
Thanks for the wife.
Thanks for the wife, Yada.
Do you guys have this? I have a moment every time I start one of these episodes where I'm like, oh my God, am I really going to rewatch every single episode of this show? Not that I don't like the show, but just the undertaking just seems exhausting to me just because we've already put so much thought and effort into these things and like to go back. And then by the time I'm done with the episode, I've enjoyed going for that ride and that trip down memory lane. But I find the task daunting every single time I sit down to do it. I just have a moment, just a flashing moment of it.
It's strange because I bring it, I haven't been watching them with Caitlin, which I should do, but I bring moments up in the episodes because what happens is I forget them completely. And then as I'm watching them, I remember them so well because we spent so much time in the editing room on them, right? So then all of a sudden it like comes flashing back. Then I go and then I say, hey, remember that moment? I say to Caitlin, it was so funny when you did this. She has zero recollection.
Right.
Because she was there on the day and did it. And then maybe watched it once.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's she ever seen the show?
We don't.
Like, every time I talk to her about it, she's like,
it's a different thing.
Thanks.
Like she
doesn't remember shit.
There was like a few years where we didn't watch. I was so sick of it by the time it aired that I don't know that we watched it.
I don't think I would remember anything if we didn't spend all the time in the editing room.
Have there been entire episodes that she has not seen?
Yeah, probably.
That's
crazy. Wow.
I know. And I used to get really upset by that. Yeah. Or if she would be like, if we would watch, maybe we stopped at a certain point because we would watch them and then she would like get up and like go and do something with the cat or the dog or the dish, you know what I mean? And I'm like, and of course, this is the way people watch TV. Yeah, so yeah. You can't have judgment on it. But I'd be like, we put so much work into this and you're just getting up and just doing whatever.
Just like sort of half
you know
engaged.
What? I don't want to watch it with you.
Yeah.
You're in the show. Sure. You're in the show and you won't sit down and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I'm not sure. You know, Jill says she thinks this show is funny, but I watch it with her and she's not laughing. Most of the time, like every once in a while, like this season, season 15, I don't think I heard her laugh once except for when we got to the episode that you and I were talking about on the Vulture podcast the other day. Yeah. Where, you know, I'm talking to the castle and I'm pinching off the cough and, you know, and you guys are singing in the pub and all that.
That's a bad sign. Well, then maybe
she was laughing a shitload during that episode.
That's a great episode.
Okay, so she does.
But maybe we need to bounce our scripts off her before we shoot them, right? And if they make her laugh, then that's a good, she's a good barometer. Like if we can get through to Jill.
Can we get through to Caitlin?
Right.
I don't know.
She watches them and laughs, but it's like she's half paying attention. Mm-hmm.
Some people, though, just don't, they can't sit and watch a thing. It's not like for good or bad. It's just not their thing. They don't want to sit down and watch something. Like,
I understand that. I'm getting to that point.
Yeah.
Like I can sit and watch a football game, which I recognize is ridiculous. I understand. Wow. I certainly can watch
it. But even that, you're not sitting there watching the commercials like that. You get like little brain breaks, right? So you get like a 2 minutes of action and then you can go be on your phone or do whatever and then you're back.
Are you paying close attention to the full 3.5, 4 hours?
If I'm watching what Americans call soccer, there are no commercials, so I'm watching
that. Is
that
what you were talking about when you said football?
Well, no, I was actually talking about American football there because I'm not.
Okay. Thank God. I got worried for a second.
Don't do that. By the way.
I have to do it to a certain extent.
Again, for the record. It used to be called soccer in England as well.
I know, but they get angry, Glenn.
I don't know why they get so angry. They're the one who invented it.
I get it.
The damn sport and called it soccer.
I understand.
Okay, all right.
I understand.
Okay.
Nevertheless, I recognize how ridiculous it is to watch any of that, but I can sit there and watch it. I'm having a tough time sitting down to watch a 2-hour movie these days.
Yeah, it's tough.
And it's not because my attention, maybe it's because my attention span, but it's also because I got other shit going on. I don't know.
It could be the movies too. The movies just aren't grabbing you.
Could be.
I think everybody's attention span these days is much shorter than it used to be because of our phones and social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like to pay attention for 22 minutes, it's like, whoo, it's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do you got?
I saw today that somebody sent this to me from, they sent it to me and Ryan actually, because on Hulu, trending searches, the number one trending search was Sonny on Hulu.
What?
On all of Hulu. And the second one was Deadpool. And the third one was Deadpool 2, which I thought was interesting so that we have a similar audience. And then I thought, we're not getting paid enough.
Right, because Ryan's very rich.
Yes.
But it's all like gin money, isn't it? Like,
yes. I think he makes a lot of money for those movies. Though,
I think he probably, yeah. No, we've been vastly underpaid. We know that. We've been talking about that for years.
We're very popular. Look, the more people that go and watch the show, maybe they're rewatching it with us as we go. I don't know.
Some people are.
They are.
I had somebody come up to me the other day and told me that it was actually a friend of mine and, you know, not somebody was watching it for any other reason than they just decided to watch it again. And who was it? Oh, it was Taron Killam. I was talking to Taron Killam. And Taron was like, I started watching the show again. And then you guys started the podcast. And he was like, it's timing up perfectly with me rewatching the show. Yeah, Taron's a great guy. You guys know Taron?
Of course.
I know Taron. Very funny. Very funny. Very talented man.
Lovely guy.
We've done it.
Well,
we're not quite.
You usually go a full hour.
It's a full hour long conversation.
What time is it now?
We got 10 more minutes. Come on, guys. Oftentimes, the last 10 minutes, we get fired up, and you know, let me get a little more coffee.
Okay. Go get some coffee. Right. Go get some coffee.
Stretch. Let me get a little more coffee.
Okay.
This is gonna take me over the top.
Yeah.
You know what
Can
I mean?
Can you tell me what's in that coffee? Is it just coffee? Is it what kind of special? Is there like an egg cracked in there? Do you have hot pepper? Is it brewed in
Why do you ask that? Because
I don't know.
Because
you always have
hot pepper and an egg in your coffee.
Is that a crazy thing to ask? Now hold on a second.
No, there was it's a not. Moment. It's in not which a crazy thing to ask.
This You're motherfucker right. was drinking coffee that also had egg in it.
No. What are you talking what? About? Coffee and egg?
Hold on a second. What was the bullet coffee? What was the bullet coffee? What was the bullet coffee?
That's butter. It's like a butter.
Explain yourself
to me. It's a butter.
Okay,
thing.
Well, grandfather, bullet coffee, which is otherwise known as and actually known as bulletproof coffee. Is coffee and butter and MCT oil and sometimes coconut oil. There's different ways to make it, but the main thing that bulletproof coffee is, by the way, that's not pepper, okay? And that might sound strange, but like, by the way, I did the bulletproof coffee thing for like 5 seconds. It just absolutely right. destroyed my stomach.
Yes, I'm not.
I hated it.
The reason I was asking was because it's not that crazy to assume that to go from butter to an egg. I don't know.
No, you know what? I have coffee with my eggs all the time. And I've never thought to like stir the eggs straight into the coffee.
Maybe I'm missing out.
I could be missing out. I mean, that's a very common thing. Get some eggs, have a cup of coffee. That's
I'm
normal.
Down to try it. I'm down to try it to like, you know.
Egg coffee or coffee egg.
Oh, I bet. Oh, how about this? How about this? Like you did some cold coffee, right? Cold brew coffee. Mm-hmm. Put it in a blender with some ice. Crack a couple eggs in there. Maybe put some butter in there, right? And a little bit of honey, maybe to sweeten. Well, no, you can't do that. No, that's kind of. No,
I also don't want my drink to be my meal. I like a meal. I like
a
drink, but I don't want my drink to be my meal.
I would drink every single meal if I could.
Really?
Every single
meal.
You
don't really
enjoy
food. I want
to be chewing and, you know.
Chewing's a massive waste of time and energy.
You want
I want to mix it with my saliva and swallow it. That's it.
That's it. Well, the way you chew, it is a waste of time, though.
I do chew a lot.
There's a lot of chewing.
There's a lot of chewing. There's compartmentalizing of the food.
I hate the way I eat.
It gets chewed and go into a lower corner. It sits there for a while or something else is chewed and moved up into the top of your mouth. Then at some point it swirls together.
It's a factory. It's an assembly line.
It's something I
you're separating the egg from the salt in your mouth somehow because you've learned what will metabolize faster.
You're so right.
You are totally turning true. Food into a liquid
I
in
am.
Your mouth.
I'm liquefying it.
You are liquefying.
Like you, but what's so great about you?
Too, your mouth
like
is I, the
and
ultimate
I love
blender.
About, I love it about you is that you read somewhere, you know, years ago that if you chew your food 1,000 times per bite, that it actually was better for your body.
No, I've been doing
but
that.
I appreciate that.
No, I've been doing that since I was a kid. I swear to God, I was always amongst my friends. God, I'm crying. My friends, when we were kids, would wolf down their food. Like we'd go to McDonald's and they'd eat their hamburger in like 2 bites, and I'd be sitting there chewing forever. And they were like, "Let's go, man." We got to ride our bikes across the train tracks again, or whatever the hell it was we were doing back in the day. And I just couldn't. I just chew.
For a man who has to chew like that, of course you want your food liquefied,
right? Yes,
because you want to be on your bike too. You
it's a
want
burden.
To be on your bike.
I want to be on the bike.
It's the chewing
you
is a burden.
You want to be on an adventure with your friends, going to find dead bodies. Look, we get it. So yeah. Understand. You want to be in Stand By Me.
The egg coffee would be good for you. A coffee egg would be a coffee that's been hard boiled. An egg that's been hard boiled in a pot of coffee. That would be
That
would be a coffee egg. But
I would try
egg coffee. Yeah.
Like in a percolator, right? Where you're actually boiling.
Let's
the water.
Make both of those and then see which ones.
That's a thing. Though, a tea egg is a thing.
But wait, no, actually,
in tea.
But the coffee's not going to penetrate the shell of the egg and actually affect the flavor. So what's
yes, it is.
He's so sure of it.
I
mean, you were so clear and so sure that.
Oh, yes, it will.
It most certainly will.
You know, it's like you work 100%. For the
How's it going to penetrate the shell of the egg? By the way, I love your passion for this. I really do.
I have no idea.
Certainty.
There it really is. I have no idea.
Because I've had a tea egg before. I've had a tea egg, which was an egg that
You're
was
kidding.
Boiled in tea, and it was delicious.
It tasted like tea?
Yeah. Very good.
You're blowing my mind. I've never heard of that. A tea egg?
Yes.
What is this?
It's from other cultures, man.
What culture?
Japan.
Oh.
And Chinese.
Chinese. Chinese. Okay. I don't know.
Chinese tea eggs.
Yes. Chinese tea eggs. And then
my
do
God.
They? Will you find
simmered
if
simmered in a savory liquid with star anise, well, that's
why you
sticks and peppercorns.
Star anise.
But do they peel the egg before they boil it? That's what we need to know.
No, you can't peel it before you boil it.
Before you boil it. you boil it? What am I saying? Do they boil it and then like soak it in the tea or something?
Like crack it open. Crack open the boiled egg and soak it in tea.
Absolutely should have Charlie Kelly try to peel an unboiled egg. Next season.
And he can't figure it out. He's frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to make, wow. Okay. All right. Coffee egg. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that that's going to be gross.
Yeah. I'm with you. I think that's going to be unpleasant.
I was going to say is I had that same, you and I had the same gum surgery where, you know, you're having like recession on your gums and you get like a thing and they have to take like a little bit of tissue from the roof of your mouth. This is generally how it's done. By the way, I've heard recently, somebody told me they can do it with cadavers now. That's creepy, but you can get them all done at once because they're not scraping it from the roof
say
of your
again,
mouth.
Say again, cadavers?
You can scrape a... Yeah, we can already just say that we should cut this. They can take the skin, the roof skin, I think, of a cadaver and use that to...
fix your gums.
Fix your gums.
No.
Yeah, it's creepy. It's creepy. Anyway.
No, thank you.
So they took it from the roof of my mouth and then they, you know, they do it there and it eventually turns into your gum tissue and, you know, heals and looks normal. But you can't eat solid food for 2 weeks. And in that 2 weeks, my whole thing was I ate the same foods that I would normally eat. Like if I was having chicken and vegetables and rice, I wouldn't be like, well, I can't eat that because that's solid. I would just literally take that, put it in a Vitamix, add water and blend it into a smoothie. And I would eat chicken, rice and vegetables as a smoothie. And it was great. You know what it tasted like? Chicken soup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, okay. I would describe this to people and they'd be like, that's disgusting. That's horrible. And I'd be like, no, it's just soup.
You're like, eventually it's going to get blended up before you swallow it.
Certainly
so
in my
I'm
mouth.
Just, yeah. I'm just alleviating my mouth from having to do the blending work.
I would heat it up first. Yeah, so well, I would heat
would
it
soup.
Up. I would cook it and then, sorry, to be clear, and then put it in the Vitamix and add water and
how
it would just turn
into
a soup.
How about a friend that was on the all raw diet?
Oh,
was,
Mark.
Yeah, was eating raw meats, Allison. Like raw chickens. And
I don't know that they... I know that they tried raw chicken, but I don't think that was ever like a staple of their diet. And they didn't stick with it. Like, I don't think anyone really
That's a
could.
Tough thing to stick with.
No. And by the way, I went to the place where we would get those... Because there's certain raw foods you can't... That are like against the law in California. You can't... You're not supposed to be able to get them.
Meanwhile, I was scraping cadavers' mouths for gum surgery. But
this company that would it was called Raw, and they would get. I mean, this is so shady. They would literally go to Amish farms in Pennsylvania and drive it in this like big white van, the kind of van that you see, and you go, oh, I got to stay away from that van. And then they would park it in a parking lot, and you would buy stuff out of the back of this van, like. You know, raw eggs, raw butter, raw goat milk, raw cow's milk, raw meat, raw. What were the? I'm
trying straight to out of the salmonella mobile, just like.
Yeah. I think that was what they called it. Actually, the salmonella mobile. They sold salmonella wafers. Uh-huh. Oh, cut that. I couldn't help myself. That's such a dad joke. That was such a dad joke. Oh, I hate myself for saying that.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
Okay, I'm going to let it go. Anyway, where was my point? I don't know. Anyway, we used to get all these like raw foods and I tried it to some degree for a while. I was like, you know, but I couldn't stick with it. It was pretty. The one thing, I tried to eat raw fish and I bought like some sushi grade fish and I cut it up and there was a fucking worm in there. And I was like, I'm done.
Right.
A wiggling worm. A live wiggling worm, not a worm that's like dead and you're a wiggling worm. And I was like, well, I'll never be.
Because human beings started saying, you know, we'll start cooking our shit because.
But see, why do we have to cook food? Why are we the only animal that has to cook its food?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
What happened?
As we started cooking food, our lower intestines, our intestinal tract got smaller, which made room for our brains to get bigger. And suddenly we were not being.
What?
Yeah, that's how it happened. So once, like...
Your brain couldn't get big until your intestines got small? What's the correlation there?
Well, just your intestine was doing a lot more work because you were just only eating raw foods and trying to... Just like the animals, all the other animals.
Okay, so more power was able to...
But then we got fire. And then as we got fired, we got smarter and our brains got bigger. And then suddenly, you know, were in charge, and not that, not the you know, the town tiger.
I don't know enough.
Because we figured out how to trap it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about brains to dispute it.